This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Our thanks again to Padres Assistant General Manager Josh Stein joining us on our SDCCU Management Report. It's not Big Bank Banking, it is better. This hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans for 20 years. Baseball season is in full swing. In fact, it's kind of wrapping up, but
yeah, it is.
Swim season is not. That is definitely in full swing. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now, mention radio for 20% off new service plans in 2026. We're past the trade deadline.
We are.
But you can still sign players who are free agents. And I saw one yesterday, name hadn't thought of in a while. Did you see that the Philadelphia Phillies have signed Nestor Cortes to a one-year contract? Sent him to Class A to get him going again, but he has not pitched since he was with the San Diego Padres. Last September 3rd was the last time Nestor Cortes took the mound. I don't know if the Phillies are hoping that he can eat some innings for them down the stretch, if they're desperate for a number five starter, but
I think that's a signing Nestor Cortes is a clear sign of desperation.
They gave him a big league deal and had to put him on the 40-man roster. So, I mean, it sounds like they do intend to use him at some point.
Nestor.
Didn't work out that well for us.
No, sure didn't.
Oh, that one good Jorge Quintana out of that deal.
That's true. That's true.
But we also had to take Nestor Cortes.
That's right. That's right.
Did he shove against the Dodgers one game?
Yeah, yeah, one really hitter. Like it was like the sun, like the clouds opened up, and it was like
I thought
hey,
that
man,
was him. I just couldn't remember.
This is your day.
Because baseball makes no sense.
Baseball makes
it never does.
No sense. Yeah, how many people bet $5,000 that day for the Dodgers to beat him by seven? And boy, it's just the weirdest sport of all time.
So yeah, we may see him taking part in an actual wild card pennant race once again in the National League, but this time on the other side, and we'll be cheering against Nestor Cortes.
Yeah, somebody in the chat asked, "Oh, you guys didn't ask Stein about Lucas Giolito." I didn't want to. I'm good. I think I've seen all of that I can handle this year.
He's been on the injured list and trying to come back. The question is, even if he was 100% healthy, who are you taking away from to add Lucas Giolito at this point?
Based on the Lucas Giolito that we saw here, no one. I'm rolling with the guys that we have.
I mean, if Musgrove's back, you already don't have a spot.
You're good.
And even if he's not, right now, I kind of like how Randy Vasquez is throwing better than we really saw from Lucas Giolito.
He had a rough outing last outing, but he had a couple good ones before that. I mean, you know, listen, what do we expect? Tonight is a night that, is it for sure that he's starting?
For sure he's pitching. I still don't know if he's starting.
I mean, somebody said Canning, Canning and Giolito. I mean, Canning is a mop-up guy at this point. He is. We're up eight, down eight, get an inning.
He's done all right in the mop-up role.
He's done fine in the mop-up role. You need those guys. They're not important. They're very important. But you know, it's I'm good.
I mean, it's good to have depth. You know, if you need it for whatever reason, spot start. Hey, you clinch a playoff spot with 4 or 5 days to go. You
those
call
guys
up everybody.
Are huge,
you know, Giolito and Canning are both getting starts in the last series of the season, and you just get your rest of your guys rested and ready to go for a wild card series.
Need to get back on a winning streak, but it starts with one winning tonight at Petco Park, Benjamin.
All right, we will talk about that a little bit later. Right now, though, let's turn the floor over to Paul Reindl. Paulie?
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Reindl Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Reindl Report with Paul Reindl.
Hey, guys, it's Paul here.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindl Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah? Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right. Before you start, Paulie, I want to thank you. Paulie got concierged yesterday.
I almost brought this up earlier.
By whom?
Well, by me via
my
brother Sam, who texted me and said, is there any way?
This actually bothered me a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad you brought this up.
He said, is there any way? I got a buddy who used to play football for UT. and he lives in Texas. And we love giving him a hard time about Matthew McConaughey. Can I get the Bless the Mood clip?
Oh.
So I can get the audio and send it to him.
Okay.
And so I, of course, said, Paulie, is there any way you can send it to me?
It's online, isn't it?
And then I realized it's online. But Paulie said for Sammy, he would do it.
Well, so. Ben texted me and goes, hey, can you send me this clip? And then he followed up, before I even saw it and responded, he said, actually, I could probably just pull it off of YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I saw it, I was like, "It won't. I have it saved, it won't take me that long. No problem. So I clipped it, you know, what is it? Can I get some help, please?
Yeah, I thought that he just wanted the, can you get me some help, please?
Right.
But he wanted the whole thing. So I had to then ask Paulie again, can you just send the whole Bless the Mood clip?
Even though you already,
even though you already knew,
you could pull it off.
Paulie's just a magician, and he's so good at it.
That's something a lazy person says.
He got it to me so fast. It would have taken me at least 25 minutes. Paulie did it in like 18 seconds. It was amazing. Mm. So thank you, Paulie.
So you got double concierge. Yeah. Hey, thanks for that effort. I need a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Sam.
No, God, no. How could you ever be mad at Sam?
Because
Sam's the greatest.
The first time when he just asked for the short clip, I said anything for Sam. I love Sam. I would be happy to do that for Sam. And then we were like, actually, he wants the full one. That's when, if I'm Ben, I would have said, you know, I'll just grab it.
To make Sammy happy. I just give you another chance to make Sammy happy.
Kayla's in the chat has nailed it, and I've been accused of this myself. Weaponized incompetence. That's exactly what it is.
I'm somewhere between you and Paulie in terms of my technical abilities to like edit things, but
he knows damn well if I ask him, I can't find him.
No chance.
He knows damn well.
Unfortunately, he also knows that if I really put my mind to
it, will.
I could do it. And that hurts me in this situation. Well, it doesn't help me.
This did have me thinking yesterday as I went and pulled this clip, not once, but twice for you. We don't play that full clip very often.
The full clip is amazing.
It's been a couple of years.
I was like listening to it like five times because we never play the full thing.
Maybe you just, if you're a new listener and you've heard that clip in the Rindle Report or anywhere else, but like this is the full clip
where it's so awkward.
It was the ribbon cutting for the Moody Center at UT.
Yep.
So why wouldn't Matthew McConaughey be there?
They didn't even ask him. He just showed up.
I'll do it. And they're getting ready to like cut the ribbon officially. And he's on stage and there's, you know, seven people there waiting for this to happen.
Will you do this with me? Just because it'll make me feel good. It is time to bless the mood. Are you ready to bless the mood? Are you ready to bless the mood? Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please. Are you ready to bless the mood?
Everyone's going, like, no.
This isn't a song.
Ready to? Come on now.
We've never heard
back
that.
Up. Bless the mood. One, two, three.
You're getting a little aggressive there.
Yeah.
Come on now. Give me some backup. Bless the mood.
Bless it, damn
One,
it.
One, two, three. Are you ready to bless the mood? Are you ready to bless the mood? Are you ready to bless the mood? Come on, CDC.
Come on.
Are you ready to bless the mood?
Nobody's chiming in.
Are you ready to bless the mood?
Yeah.
There it is. Are we ready to bless the mood? It starts right now. Thank you, Irwin Center. The memories we have there, we're bringing over here, but it's time to turn the page. Let's keep writing the book.
The CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
That was their old center that they were replacing with the Moody Center, the new one.
No, the Irwin Center was the other one. He's like, come on, CDC, help me. It's all the people from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
To get up on stage and be like, what's wrong with you morons? How do you not know the next words? Like, sing along.
It's also, like, even like, hey, man, we got it. We know this chorus. Get off the stage. This is a ribbon cutting. I'm trying to get back to my day. Cut it and let's go.
Bless the moon. Are you ready to bless the moon? Are you ready to bless the moon? Come on, CDC. You ready to?
What in the world?
Back up. Bless the moon.
You're screaming at me. You're now screaming at me to bless the this moon. It's blessed.
He's getting mad.
It's blessed. They have the ribbon.
It's been blessed.
Actually, once you cut it, we'll cheer. If you cut that ribbon, we will all go, yay! How do you only get... They literally had 12 people there, it sounded like.
Yeah.
He was trying to do the Paul Stanley, like, everybody on the left say hell! Everybody on the right say yeah! Hell! Yeah! Hell! Yeah! Is there anything worse than to be like an MC?
Come on, everybody!
Get up! Let's go! Make some noise!
How many, like, He tried like 10 different times.
He did.
He could get like two. And if it's not happening, you got to just move on.
You know what? Never mind. You guys aren't in the mood. Let's cut this thing and get out of here. That's it. That's all you have to do. You cannot dig in and stay digging.
He was just... Oh, it's Friday. I thought we'd have some fun.
That's
there.
Brilliant.
What
I'm
were we
glad
talking
you pulled
about?
That back.
Oh, yes, the Rondo Report. Interesting story here from the world of college hoops, I guess. So a couple of years ago, this was back in 2023, Kai Spears, he was a player on the University of Alabama basketball team,
yep.
And he sued the New York Times because he sued him for defamation because they incorrectly reported that he was at the scene of a murder in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They published a report citing a person familiar with the investigation indicating that Kai Spears was a passenger in a car involved in the shooting.
Ooh, that's a big deal.
Days later, the New York Times did acknowledge their error in an editor's note, and they corrected their story and apologized, but... usually, that's where those stories kind of end. Kai Spears took it a step further because he sued for defamation, and just yesterday, he was finally awarded $9.25 million in damages for defamation. The New York Times now has to pay out.
I don't love this. The New York Times has like not lost a defamation case in decades because generally, it requires like actual malice. Like someone said, I know this is untrue, but we're going to report it anyway
to get
this guy.
Malice.
Everyone can make a mistake and you can get bad information.
Sure.
And all you can do is honestly report it. And then when you find out it's wrong, honestly
apologize.
Correct it, which is what they appeared to do.
Wow.
And it's possible they got a jury in Alabama that wanted to make a point of this. To me, though, I mean, unless they really had like a smoking gun, like, no, we've been trying to get after this kid for years, this is our chance to make up something about him. I mean, that's a troubling precedent because, I mean, we've made errors before. We're all going to make mistakes in this job occasionally. And if you can't honestly make a mistake and then apologize for that mistake and correct it and move on, and no, we could have to pay millions of dollars if you say the wrong thing, you can't even do journalism anymore. It's done. You're done. So that's a troubling story.
That ship has sailed anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Make that argument. Yeah. Interesting story, though.
That's a lot.
That's not typically the ending that you see in those stories. But $9.25 million going to Kai Spears. We will switch over to the NFL preseason continuing. And I don't believe we've gotten to this story this week. But pretty sure if we went back about a year ago, every August this time, we'd probably have the same conversation. The Cowboys and the Saints, the organizations, were both fined $500,000 this week for their parts in joint practice brawls. Saw the videos. It happens every year during training camp. The teams will do the joint practices, and I don't know, has a joint practice ever not ended in a fight or a brawl? Because it seems like every time this happens, the two teams start fighting, they're scrimmaging against each other, and I'm not a football guy. I totally can wrap my head around the logic behind that. Like, hey, we want to get different looks for our offense or our defense. You're going to ramp up the intensity a little bit. I get that. But are these good ideas to continuously have these joint practices where, I mean, guys were throwing punches.
The helmets were being thrown.
Body slamming each other. They're throwing, like, water bottles and helmets and stuff.
I think it's probably... there's a reason they do it is because it's pretty valuable. And
well, I think it's not so strategically, but after a bunch of camp, coaches want like, all right, all this pent up energy, take it out on some other
instead
team.
Instead of each other. Because they do that
too.
I think
it's hypocritical that they then fine them for something that they're essentially setting up. They want these guys to get a little of that aggression out against another team. So it's a little silly that then they fine them $500,000 for doing what you have set them up to do in the first place.
Don't you just do that in your next preseason game, get that aggression out?
You can, but they've shortened the preseason. There's only three games now. So
dropping
this kind
the bucket,
of replaces
though.
That first exhibition game for some teams.
Dropping the bucket for those teams.
$500,000.
I mean, dropping the bucket totally. And I think I think anytime you can scrimmage another team is pretty good, you know, and especially football because it's like my offensive line's going up against my defensive line constantly and
been
like,
a month straight
of wearing each other out. I think there's a reason,
and, you know, and by that point, the D-line knows all the blocking schemes that they're going to see from their own team. The O-line knows all the blitzes, so you're not really testing anybody on reacting to something unexpected, which is what sports is. You're just reacting to what you already know every single time. So this is, I think, valuable for teams to be able to do that.
They won't stop it. You'd need a full scale people being carted off the field type brawl for them to stop doing that.
No, I would probably tend to agree. Finally, we will wrap it up here. Well, it's a little bit sportsy as well. Got a new television show coming out on Paramount Plus next month.
Oh, my God.
And
my God.
Really didn't know what to expect when I just saw like the blurb, like, hey, this is what it is and this is when it's coming. There's been a little bit more details, but Kim Kardashian is producing a show called Team Moms Baseball. And it's going to be set at Legendary Prep Academy in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
And it's going to follow the parents of youth baseball players.
So it's basically the Real Housewives of baseball moms in Scottsdale.
So when the thing dropped, like the picture and like the premiere, I originally thought this was going to be a show. A sitcom, like a funny, like like a Eastbound and Down, or you know, Tires, or something.
No. This is.
I did not know originally
reality
that it was a reality show, and I'm telling you, man, I did a little research on it. I don't know what to say. So, I guess I'll reserve judgment till I see it. I feel like these kids are about to be mocked mercilessly by the entire world. Who, by the way, our entire world gets off on nothing more than mocking kids in youth sports. I understand youth sports are different than when you were in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. I understand it. I live it every single day. I know it's different. Nobody, every time I click on my Instagram, there's some ex-big leaguer crapping on youth sports. Every time it's some coach crapping on youth sports. Every day, that's all they want to do is crap on youth sports. Now you've just given them a toilet and said, here, take a dump on these kids' head. And these families, I understand, they're a little bit, I saw a little bit about a couple of the couples, and I went, oh my God. Now, I'll just say, I wouldn't want those parents on my squad because of like the way that they act.
When I see stuff on social media, it's usually that annoys me or I think is weird or whatever, interesting. It's usually not what the kids are doing. It's usually some coach has gone crazy.
100%.
Or some team mom is like taking that role times
a billion. It's a coach beating up an umpire, right? We've seen all this stuff. And so, yeah, man, like, I am so sensitive about it because I'm so involved in it.
I don't know that you should watch this.
I don't know that I should.
The problem here is that we know how reality TV works. We had our friend Matt and Katie Janella with the Real Housewives of Orange County. It rewards the worst behavior, the worst instincts.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see the coach out there.
Those
like,
are the ones who get the most TV time and make the most money. So now you're going to be rewarding the moms who are the craziest, who are the most outlandish. But this is real life, and this is a real team with real kids that are now involved in this.
Yeah.
So you're going to be rewarding bad behavior, essentially.
Kids are super excited, obviously, because they're 12 or whatever. Like, they're on TV. They think it's cool. Their parents probably make it some money. I saw a picture of one family. Dude was in a white suit. Mom was in a F-me dress, like heels, like just stacked, put together. And somebody was like, well, this is their promo. Like, no, this is how they dress for games. This is what they come to the field. Kid is adorned in gold chains. And, you know, listen.
But the mom who's doing the hard work behind the scenes to make sure that everything's set up and
sure
organized
the fields
and stuff,
are ready.
That's not going to make the show.
Nobody's watching that show. No, nobody's watching that. And I don't know, man. I don't know if I should watch it.
Bringing normal snacks and water bottles. That's not making the show.
I thought a literal Eastbound and Down type show about this would have been genius. Genius.
I mean, you should probably still put together that screenplay. Like, you never know. You might be on to something, but
like a real show.
Yeah. No, I was reading about Legendary Prep Academy. They've only been open for, it says, 18 months.
How is it legendary?
Legendary Prep Academy. Again, I'm reading from ArizonaSports.com.
Sounds like it's all contrived and put together. What is contrived?
18 months. The Academy says it has placed 12 players at the college or professional level. Their staff includes head coach Mark Karavitis from, he's a former Oregon infielder and three-time minor league all-star. And it's one of those, it's a prep academy. Like, I remember there was a couple in Seattle, outside of Seattle, where there were these prep academies for basketball where kids that were, like, future first-round draft picks would just drop out of whatever school they were going to. You go to this prep academy. They have them all over the country, and you live there.
And you deal with basketball.
It's like in a dorm. Yeah, basketball, football, baseball. And it says here, amenities pitched to families include daily meals, an on-site barber, and professional-grade training technology. So I don't even know what age these kids are going to be in the show.
I thought they were like 12.
That makes it sound like it's more a little bit older, but...
Well, yeah, they wouldn't be able to place anyone in college if they were just 12-year-olds and started 18 right. months ago. They'll all be 13
You
at
also
this
don't
point,
really have team moms yeah. for, like, the 17-year-olds, so I don't know what this show... There's not a whole lot of information out. It comes out September 24th on Paramount+. I think he nailed it. I think it is going to give a lot of ammunition.
It's just more
to
ammunition, man. It's just more ammunition to take a crap on kids' heads. And I coach every single day of my life something in some capacity. I cannot tell you how amazing these kids are. I cannot even impart to you what great, great kids that I have. And I didn't just get lucky. The kids are not the problem. The kids have never been the problem.
Nope.
It's not the kids. It's not. It's just not. And I think it does such a disservice to all the hard work that a lot of people put in behind the scenes. So, listen, you know, you watch the show if you want to watch it. I have to check it out. I got to see what it's like. But it's going to make me feel sad, I think, mostly for the kids because, listen, they're on screen. They're going to do it bigger and better and badder than everybody.
Paulie, thank you for the Rondo Report. Quick update from Jake. He says CDC stands for Chris Del Conte, the UT Athletic Director. So he was referring to a person.
So he was a CDC. You get them in gear.
Yeah.
Because they're not listening to me. Come on, CDC, give me some help. It's incredible. CDC.
All right, when we come back, Woodsy's former employer, the San Diego Seals.
Yes.
Major announcement this morning.
One, two, three. Are you ready to
get you updated next on 97.3 The Fan. Ben Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. I've got to imagine this morning's SEALs news was sort of mixed for you. Because had this happened a few years ago, it would have been very convenient for our old pal Woodsy.
Much more convenient than it was, yes.
We heard the stories of you trying to fight through traffic on Friday nights to get down to Pechanga Arena
to do
the PA for the games.
It was normally what I would do for a 7:10 ball drop. I had to be there early anyway to prepare, but I would leave my house at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and still be in traffic. And I'd be down there. I'd get there and go, cool, just 4.5 hours till game time as I'm sitting there waiting. It would have been much more convenient. And, you know, obviously it's a newer building, better sound system, all of those
things. So the announcement is the San Diego Seals are moving. Their season, which starts here in a couple of months, will take place not at Pechanga Arena, but at Oceanside's Front Wave Arena. They're moving up to the North County. And
Soccers did that, right?
Yes, the Soccers play up there. The San Diego Clippers of the G League also play there. And I get it. This is kind of mixed news. There are probably some Seals fans who are really bummed.
100%.
Live down in Point Loma and like, oh man, it was a 5-minute drive from my house. Now it's all the way up in Oceanside. But I also feel like lacrosse in North County is pretty insane.
Pretty big.
It's like one of the biggest hotbeds on the West Coast. Of lacrosse, and they're going to be a lot closer on Friday and Saturday nights for games. And to talk just a little bit about it and catch up, someone we haven't chatted with in a while on our SDCCU fan hotline, head coach of the San Diego Seals, Patrick Merrill, is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Coach, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You guys
having a good summer?
Summer's over. The kids are back in school, so we can breathe a little easier around the Woods household right now. But
good.
I know, you know, I'd heard this for years, potentially happening and going down. It has finally gone down. You know, for you guys, what's kind of your opinion on it? Because, again, anytime you move, there's going to be people that are really happy, like people that live in North County like me, and then people that are really sad, like the people that had been coming for the last few years.
Right. Yeah, so obviously bittersweet. We, you know, we were at Pechanga Arena for, since day one. And we built a really strong fan base there and had a lot of great memories there. And, you know, thinking back to our first game, Woodsy, in that building, it was pretty electric.
Unreal.
And, yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, anyone that's been in an arena knows that it's, you know, it's an older building. And so I think it was time for us, you know, there's going to be four or five, you know, teams, San Diego-based teams in that arena. So it's going to be, you know, quite an environment for sports and sports fans up there. And, you know, our fan base, you know, comes from all over Southern California as well. And so it's going to make it a little bit easier on the people from North County and maybe even the southern parts of Orange County and et cetera. And we also have a lot of our players that live up there and building some youth programs up there as well. Yep. Lots of kids playing lacrosse. So it's really exciting for us. And, you know, with a new building, you know, it presents some different types of opportunities. I think we're ever going to get good chance to sell it out often up there. And if you've been in the building, it's, you know, it's more vertical, I guess, is the way to describe it. I had the pleasure of touring it yesterday. And so the fans are going to feel, you know, it's going to be rocking in there. It's going to be really loud, but it's going to feel like the fans are kind of right on top of you, which I think is great and brings them closer to the action. And, you know, I think it is even better for us to feed off of as a team too. So I think an already great kind of in-game experience is going to be taken to another level just with the newer building.
Yeah, I like the arena. I've been there a few times for a few games, and it really is a more intimate venue. So I think people are going to enjoy it. Again, you just got to, you know, bear with that drive to the North County if you're from. Just know we've been doing it the other way.
Yeah, we've been going the other way for
all
years.
These years. Yeah. You know, you can head down to, up to the north, and it's not that far. It's like my beloved Goat Hill. It's just like another mile and a half east off of Oceanside Boulevard. If you haven't been to Front Wave Arena, what to expect this season, Patrick, for the Seals?
Yeah, well, we came a little short last year
so
and
close.
Lost in the semifinals and. You know, and we had, yeah, I think a really good year. You know, most of the guys that we expect to return are returning. So we should have a really strong year again this year. And we're going to add some pieces, too. So we got to take that next step in the playoffs and hopefully, you know, put a banner in that new arena.
I want to see it, and I hope Togerson calls in sick one night so I can come actually scream into the mic again. I was waiting for him to call in sick last year. I told Mike Grace, if just put me on the list. If he needs a fill-in from
nice.
Time to time, I'll come in and scream one out, Patty. But obviously wish you guys the best. It's going to be cool to see you guys in a new arena, for me especially, but for all of the guys too. It's just, I think it's great news, and I understand if people are upset. But like you said, it's been going the other way for years, but go kick some ass this year, man. We expect big things as usual.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Patty. Love to the family.
Take care.
Patrick Merrill, head coach of the San Diego/Oceanside Seals.
Just call them the San Diego. This is going on our chat. Like the Dallas Cowboys play in Arlington, all right? And
it's fair.
The Niners do not play in San Francisco, right? So, I mean, it is.
San Diego County.
There's San Diego County.
San Diego Seals.
San Diego Seals.
All right, we'll take our last time out here when we come back.
I had to laugh a little bit when you said it's not that far north. I mean, like.
It's pretty far north.
If you're in Chula Vista, north or ocean, it's literally as far north as you can go in San Diego. It's a bit of a drive.
Less centrally located. But, you know, is it worth it? I think it's a pretty fun night at the.
No, it's a blast.
At the arena. All right, we'll come back. Last time out when we return. I need to get Paulie's answer on our seventh inning stretch question from yesterday's roundtable. Biggest phobia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Woods gave a tremendous answer if you missed it yesterday. Tremendous. Wrap things up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fam. The Seals moving is the most polarizing story we've ever done.
It was. I know, man.
And I, as we said, I get it. It's going to be bad news for a lot of people. I will point out. Pechanga Arena is almost certainly going away within the next year or two. It's going to be bulldozed over. So
yeah.
They were going to have to find a new arena
right. Anyway.
And, you know, this makes a lot of sense at Front Wave Arena. But again, it is going to mean a much longer drive for some people and a much shorter drive for others. So a lot of winners, a lot of losers
yes.
in any big decision.
That's right.
So we had our roundtable yesterday, and it was a good one. Had our seventh inning stretch question. Asked everybody what their biggest phobia was. Mine, Paulie, was sudden drops, like the Tower of Terror or Guardians of Galaxy ride.
Pit in your stomach.
I'm not afraid of the heights. I can go up to the top of something, like a building, gently. I don't mind the heights.
What do we call that?
Like an elevator ride to a skyscraper. I'm not going to get weak-kneed by seeing heights, but the drop always gets me. I hate the drop.
What do we call that? Like when it happens in your like stomach, you feel it. Like feels like it's turning
like
over
flip.
Or something.
Yeah. Stomach
like,
flip.
I always would feel that like as a kid on a if you really got going on like a swing, you kind of feel that when you're going down. You're like whoa. Yeah. Like, I always kind of liked it though.
So Woods' answer though, I think floored everybody on the SoundSpace stage.
It's a true one too. It's absolutely real. Chorophobia is mine.
And it has a name.
Chorophobia?
C-H-O-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. Chorophobia.
And it's the fear of...
dancing.
Dancing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Panicked about it. Like I.
Oh,
I,
that's so good.
I told the story on the roundtable, but my wife and I were in bed a couple weeks ago. And I looked at her and I go, have we ever danced, even a slow dance? She goes, no.
Not
and I
once
go, not
in
once.
Your whole Never. Relationship.
Never. I don't think we've ever.
Because you didn't do a full on. You'd eloped. So you didn't have to do a first wedding dance in front of everybody.
Didn't have to do that. And I don't know if there's any. It's part of the reason I don't like going to weddings is because, hey, let's go, everybody on the dance floor. You know, and I.
Can't be that guy that's like, no, I don't want to.
That's it. So I have to be that guy. Well, when I was younger, it was, I'll just go to the bar and drink 100 drinks instead. And now. You can't catch me out there, man. I am really, really, it skeeves me out to do it.
So did I ever tell you, this is probably 20 years ago, through Channel 10, I was asked to do a charity thing, you know, raise money for a good cause. It was a Dancing with the Stars type competition. And I got paired with a professional dancer and had to go like 3 or 4 times.
What was his name?
Her name.
Oh, her name.
Choreograph. Like a dance that we did on stage at an event.
How?
I don't think there's any video.
Have we never
it.
Heard
Eight
of this.
Years. I'm going to need you to. You have archives at a news station, right?
I don't think there was video of it.
BS.
I don't remember ever seeing.
They're not.
This
doing
was a while
this
ago. This was like almost pre-social media.
Do you remember your?
I don't remember exact. I remember how bad I was at it.
All right. Give me that. What was the? Do you remember your partner?
I don't remember her name.
Was she attractive?
Yeah. I mean, she was a professional dancer. She knew what she was doing. I did not. But I was so over my head. And, you know, it was like a 3-minute routine where you had to do like the ballroom dancing thing. And it's not for me, but I was, you know, someone roped me into it. It was for some sort of charitable cause.
It would be my biggest fear.
I can imagine.
What was it called? Yeah.
I don't even remember the name.
You don't remember the charity or anything?
Yeah, this was almost 20 years ago.
Okay.
But if anybody does, go ahead and refresh my memory. If anyone remembers being at the event, what it was called, if there is any video evidence of it.
Do you remember the steps at all?
Not even close.
How hard was it?
It was very tough.
Yeah.
It was very intricate and complex.
You could teach me for 2 weeks. I don't think I could get any better at dancing because I just don't like it. And I said it yesterday, too. Like, I laugh at, like. I laugh. Like, I remember somebody, I was arguing about music or something with somebody, like, man, I can't believe you don't like Justin Timberlake, such a great dancer. And I was like, now, my dad is like an elite dancer. Elite. He was like a disco dancer. He's a dancer. He dances. And like,
he commanded the dance.
Commanded
floor,
the dance.
He told me when he was out there.
Correct. And I'm like, now I laugh because I can't do it. So I mock. You know, if you mock what you can't do, certainly. But I don't know if you granted me the wish to be able to dance well. I don't know that I would take it. I'm just terrified of it. I can't stand it.
You know, wave a wand. You're John Travolta now.
Oh, I don't think I could do it.
You just wouldn't want to. You wouldn't show off your newfound ability.
It's not like, so my wife has a burning desire to be a singer. I hope she's not listening. She's one of the worst singers that you've ever heard. But it's her burning desire. Like, she's like, I've always wanted to be a singer. I was not blessed with the ability to sing, but she still sings loudly. It's not like I'm at home dancing like, man, I wish I could be a better dancer. I can't dance. I don't want to learn how to dance. It's weird. My favorite movie is Footloose. So there's something connected in here. There's something connected in that. and I don't know what it is. So that's my biggest fear, is somebody asking me to dance and dance, having to dance. It skeeves me.
So want to make Woods dance now?
I can't. I can't do it. I don't
Would
even know.
Would you do
know.
It for charity?
No. I'll just give money. I'll MC. I'll MC a dance competition for charity. I cannot do it. Do you guys like dancing?
If the Padres win the World Series, can we get you to
Where?
Perform
How?
A dance?
What kind of dance?
We'll figure it out.
I think it's part of the reason I drank so much when I was young, because I'd go to those clubs and people were like, let's go dance. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Clang, clang, clang. And I just drink.
Like, what would you do if this weekend you were invited to a wedding and your wife grabbed your
and
arm,
say, come
dragged
on out.
You out there? Like, are you doing white man's overbite?
I'm pulling my hand back.
You're just the guy who will not leave
when
their
I say,
spot
when I
around
say,
the dance
When
floor.
I say phobia... If she pulled me out, if somebody, let's go, come on, Woodsy, I would go, dude, do not touch me. Do not ask me to do this. Do not ask me to do it. I can't do it.
And we already have the video in our YouTube stream of
you
Ben
dancing?
At the Silent
yeah.
Disco.
Yeah, that was, you only had a couple beers at that point, too. That was not psychedelics or anything, which is crazy. I cannot do it.
So,
man.
Paulie, what would your phobia be if you had to answer that one?
Biggest phobia? Yeah. It's kind of a toss-up between heights and flying, but I give flying the nod.
Really? I've flown with you before.
I like going places. I hate being on a plane. I have never been able to get it out of my head, whether as a kid, teenager, or an adult, of the idea of hey, if one screw pops loose, this whole plane's going down, and I have no control whatsoever.
You got to wear it.
Yeah, I understand you could be driving through a green light and get T-boned, and you don't have a whole lot of control, but I still have the wheel in my hands. I can still do something.
I can swerve. I can step on
you
the brake.
You can't do anything. And if the air masks ever came down from a flight that I was on I would have a heart attack. It wouldn't need to be applied to me. I would die right there. If we had some big jolt and those masks pop down they do in the movies, don't even bother.
It does actually happen where cabin pressure is lost.
Right.
It's not
right.
even that major of an emergency.
It would still kill him, though.
If they come down, I will have a heart attack.
Holy cow. Dominic said, you're a pretty good Irish jig dancer. I am. I can Irish jig. That's about the only dance
I've
that I can do.
Irish jig on the golf course.
Yeah, that's it.
So your Megan asks, Ben, was it at the California Center for the Arts in Escondido? I believe it was.
Oh, look at her, the sleuth.
I believe it was. Wow. It sounds like by Monday we're going to have some answers.
If my wife can pull video of this.
Of your wife.
I will have it.
Something tells
me
that you did pretty well in it.
I don't think so.
Did you? It was competition,
yeah,
right?
It was. I did
and
not.
You
win.
Did not win.
I definitely did not win. I think I'd remember it more fondly had I did. No, but I did not win.
Yeah, it's. And I'm lucky to be married to someone that doesn't like to dance either. So it's not like she's like, come on, you never take me dancing.
I remember going to this studio in San Marcos to practice a couple of times and try to learn the moves, but I was still busy. I'm always busy. So I wasn't able to give it maybe as much time. Preparation-wise, as I would have liked.
Did Hula Ramos host it?
That sounds right.
Oh my God. She's God, found
she's
it. I think
found
she found it.
Yeah, how did she do this?
I don't know.
This would be a great tease for Monday, everybody.
I don't want to see it.
I'm going to text her right now and be like, do you have a video of this?
I told you guys about what me and John Flint down the hall got roped into that one year. Our old GM, Rick Jackson, made us dress in for his JC club or whatever. We had to go and sing Deo. In Hawaiian shirts and a big straw hat.
I've heard about this for years, and I've never seen the video. John swears it's on their Facebook.
It's out there somewhere.
I have not been able to find it.
But literally, Dale, Dale. And then we had to do a choreographed thing. That's your boss.
Can we recreate this, John? He's not here. It's Friday, but
can
we recreate this next week?
My boss called us in. Yeah, and was like, can you guys do this for me? And I'm looking at John going, say no. John's like, sure, we can do it. And it was horrible. That's not us.
No.
That's the original. But yeah, you do a lot of stuff in this job where you really don't want to. Yeah, John and I doing a thing. He said that. You want to talk about... I think I just started dating Hannah. She's like, you're
never
joking.
Mind.
7 foot, 8
That's
foot
it, yeah.
Bunch.
We had to do all of that stuff. It was a nightmare. We may want to go home right now.
Well, you can, because we're at the end of the show. And you know what we never got to?
The reach around. Look
the
at
reach
him.
Reach around.
You feel so
You have 40 seconds.
They're doing just preview tonight.
Let me give you
reach around. Let me give you one highlight here. Jacob DeGrom, second fastest ever to 2,000 career strikeouts, 6 shutout innings, 10 Ks. Rangers beat the Nationals 2-0. And then we didn't talk about that Cardinals game either. They beat the Reds. They were down 6-5-4 in the ninth. Last out was like a fairly routine fly ball, and the Reds butchered it. They just dropped it, ended up scoring 6 runs, and then held on to win 10-9 at the end of the game. So the Cardinals win 4 out of 5. They're still on the fringes of the National League wild card race. So there's your very, very abbreviated reach around. And, of course, we've got Padres baseball for you tonight. Randy Vasquez either starting or probably bulk relieving against Connor Prelip, 3-6 with a 5.34 ERA. But guy that Padres aren't familiar with.
Correct.
Can always be
seen that story.
A little dicey sometimes for your San Diego
Padres.
Big push,
man. So it's a huge push.
We will be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. to wrap up the weekend series against the Minnesota Twins. Get you ready for the Pirates coming to town with any more news. And it'll also be the new owner press conference day on Monday as well. So
look sharp, boys.
Looking forward to that. For Pauly Reindl, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Braden and Frank coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.